Hello, and welcome to 3 Minutes with Newman. This is Professor Barb Wyman. Outward and Inward Notes of the Church. Most of us have paused at some point in our lives and considered the facts of our being, when and where we were born, at one place and not another, at this time and not another, and then we may wonder about this particularity of our lives. Is this random chance or part of some plan? Furthermore, we might pause and realize that all humans at all times have more than likely pondered the same question. It is this realization that St. John Henry Newman unpacks in his sermon, Outward and Inward Notes of the Church. In this sermon, he refers to the personal and social dimension of the spiritual life, the individual path followed by each person, and the doctrine, graces, and fellowship granted through the Church. Preached in 1841, it represents a deeper and more mature understanding of the Church than what he had had when he began to preach as a young clergyman with an evangelical Calvinistic view of the Church. He opens the sermon questioning why it is that, quote, some men are placed in the full light and grace of the gospel, others amid shadows, some he visits almost with sensible tokens of his presence, others he barely supports with the hope and surmise of it, some he leads forward only by intimations, and others, like St. Paul, have before now been granted visions of the third heaven, that full and intimate presence of Christ, which enables the apostle to say, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. End quote. St. Newman assures, however, that despite these vastly differing experiences of various individuals, quote, there is this one thing the same in all cases, that he has dealt with each. I mean that religion is a personal, private, and individual matter. God vouchsafes to speak to us one by one, to manifest himself to us one by one, to lead us forward one by one. He gives us something to rely upon which others do not experience, which we cannot convey to others, which we can but use for ourselves. End quote. God does not deal with every soul in the same way, nor is belief inherited, but it is a lived and real encounter between God and the individual soul throughout all time and in all places. Newman continues by next considering the Christian religion, which he says is laid down plainly in the gospel, that Christianity is a, quote, social religion and addresses individuals as part of a whole, and being social, it must have all things in common and its evidences and tokens in number. And further, if it is social, it must be a public religion, a city set upon a hill, and its evidences will be, in a measure, public, end quote. The Church, therefore, is public, visible, and universal. Her unity, her authority, her sacramental life, her continuity through history are not incidental. They are part of her witness to the world. As the prophets foretold, the nations would recognize in her something divine. Newman posits, quote, she received this gift from her Lord in the beginning, to claim and command obedience when she spoke, because she spoke, and that not from anything special in the mind of the hearer, but from the voice and tone of the speaker. End quote. So if God speaks to every soul in a personal manner, yet the Church is public and visible, how do these two circumstances work together? Newman answers thus, quote, I observe then this, that the public notes of the Church are rather a sign to unbelievers than to the faithful, and to the world than to the Christians. End quote. In other words, the external visible Church is to be a sign to the world to draw people in, while the internal personal experience of God through grace is the gift given to those within. The church should attract through her public beauty and goodness, but the foundational work happens within the individual soul. This should be a reassurance, writes Newman, for sometimes, quote, the public notes of the church shine so faintly and feebly among us, end quote, with various scandals or division or cultural decline, yet this is not a reason to lose confidence. Though some are tempted to search elsewhere to judge the church solely on her external notes, her external condition. But Newman insists, this is precisely when we must attend more closely to the private tokens of grace, which, quote, are the true portions of Christians, meant to guide them, and that if these are vouchsafed to us, they are God's guides to us and signs of His presence, and that we need not look out for others, end quote. These inward tokens are found in the quiet conviction of the conscience through the interior presence of Christ, which will cause an increase in charity and holiness, the hidden manna for the believer. These are the church's deepest fruits. They are the ways Christ fulfills His promise to dwell within His people. Therefore, the church is both visible and invisible, both institutional and mystical. Through the sacraments, especially the Eucharist, Christ gives Himself fully and truly. But the transformation that follows, the knowledge of Him, the love of Him, so that the truth expressed in St. Paul's words, that we know whom we have believed, are real. St. John Henry Newman's message is uplifting, especially in our current time when the world seems to drift farther and farther away from Christ's teaching. We are not to despair when the external notes of the church seem lacking, nor should we retreat into private religion. On the contrary, we bear a tremendous responsibility. Newman states strongly, quote, for me, with these convictions, never will I shrink, through God's help, at fitting times and in my place, from warning my brethren of that so great sin of the day, their disregard of the grievous judgment under which we lie. End quote. We are called to be salt and light in the fallen world. St. Newman ends the serious sermon with a profound remember, quote, let us beware of turning a deaf ear to what may prove to be a divine token. Angels are our guardians, end quote. And so in the words often repeated by St. John Paul II, be not afraid. Angels accompany us. We go forth with the full armor of God. We must bring the truth of the risen Lord to those around us by our life and by our works. And through the personal witness of individual believers, others will be encouraged to seek communion within the visible church.